Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey, After Buzzers. Tonight, we are talking Orange is the New Black Season 6, Ladies of Love. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Tonight, we are doing part 3 of Season 6, Orange is the New Black, talking all of our favorite ladies. I call them the ladies of love.
More specifically, the Latin ladies tonight.
And yes. Amor. I wish I could roll my R's like that. Just sound like a crazy Amor. Person. I like it.
I love them.
Me too. I'm your host, April Wissenhant. Thank you all for joining us again tonight. As always, joined by my lovely ladies, my other lovely ladies.
Ow, ow. I'm Francesca.
Hi, I am Leslie, and I'm excited to get started talking about this.
Yay, we have Leslie back tonight.
I know, I've been gone. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
But I've been, like, eagerly awaiting to talk about Orange is the New Black this season.
I know. Okay, so I want to hear your general thoughts, since I haven't heard yours yet, about the season, what you thought.
I was back and forth, because initially I was like, oh my gosh, they're all separated. I don't know what's going on. And then they're all turning on each other. Mm-hmm. And for a while, it felt like in the middle of the season, I was like, where are we going? What is the direction here? Yeah. And I was afraid that we weren't going to get, like, a good wrap on this, that it was going to kind of wander aimlessly. Yeah. But I was really happy with how they buttoned up the season at the end. What do you guys think?
I think for the first time in forever, and I think they probably did it this way because of maybe some reactions to other seasons.
Right.
I think we got a nice little wrap-up. They did so in a way to where, you know, I've appreciated, because I love a good cliffhanger, not gonna lie, but I've appreciated the way that they've ended the other seasons. But, like, sometimes it gets to be, like, a little too much, you know what I mean? So them kind of having it to where we do have the things of, okay, what happens next with this?
Yeah.
They also, like, the stuff that you really needed to know, they let us know. Like, if we had have left off with, oh, what happens to this person? Or,
yeah.
No, I wouldn't have.
I feel like they closed up a lot of storylines very nicely and still left enough intrigue for what's going to come. Mm-hmm. And obviously, they had some very devastating moments, one of which I'm sure we'll talk about later with Blanca. But I feel like I actually really appreciated the season as a whole and more than when I'm actually in the middle of it. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. What did you think about how they wrapped up all of our ladies
today? Well, like you said, Leslie, like, they wrapped up a lot of the storylines, so we're not left wondering, except for Blanca, really. Mm-hmm. So,
it was good.
Yeah. I feel like at the end of last season, we saw, you know, the girls get divided. Spanish Harlem essentially got divided.
Yeah.
And going into this season, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, we're not going to see Maritza, and we only got Flaca. And we didn't see her all season, by the way. I did miss her a lot.
I know.
You know, I felt like they did do a good job introducing new Hispanic characters on the show that were interesting and sort of, like, filled that void, and still expanding on some of the characters that we love and know.
I fully say I missed Maritza this season.
She's one of my favorites.
I know. I'm so sorry. I'm so sad that she wasn't on the show. But it did give Flaca a little more kind of airtime. You know, she has her radio show, of course, as we see that she does with Black Cindy. What'd they call it?
Tova. Flava to the Max.
Flava to the Max. Oh, Tova. Sorry. I forgot. Her new Jewish name. But I kind of liked that we got to see that side of her.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we literally didn't see it whatsoever, kind of. But it's all, she's never had, like, a full, huge story, because the other ladies take up so much time. So I think they kind of have her on the show as more of, like, the comedic relief that we really, really need sometimes. And I always enjoy it. So
I'm actually happy that they paired her with Cindy, because she's also super hilarious and always joking. So, you know, I liked seeing them mesh together. And mm-hmm. it was kind of different worlds together instead of just her always with Ritza.
Yeah.
I think it was a really clever way of keeping Flocka's sort of gimmick of like, oh, she needs someone to bounce off of. And at the same time, like reminding us, oh, we do miss Maritza, and it's not the same. Like, obviously her and Cindy had chemistry sometimes, but you know, it was a point in the storyline that sometimes they didn't as well. So it was a way to like still like nod, like, oh, we haven't forgotten her BFF, but look, this is the kind of person she can be with someone else. And we got to see a side of her of like, oh, you know, I do pick up on things, mm-hmm. you know, I cultivate my stupidness, or that wasn't the right word. So basically, like, she dumbs down for the male, I guess, perspective, so that they find her appealing, which is kind of sad, but you know,
right? But she does that for everyone, for entertainment as well, though. Like, clearly, we see her have some, you know, let's say ditzy moments, mm-hmm. but I mean, who doesn't have those every now and then? But she knows that, and she takes it into account, and that's kind of like, you know, at the very end of the season, whenever Gloria is like breaking in and finds the pool, what they call it?
The fantasy inmate.
Yeah. It's almost like she had no idea what was even happening. She's like, I don't know what went on, and she genuinely didn't. So I like that they kind of have her character doing that. And even at the very end, the very, very end, when they're all playing the soccer game, and mm-hmm. she and Cindy are commentating, and it's like she's so into it, and she didn't know that they all had like shivs hitting up their jackets and things like that. So I think she plays her part well, but I also liked that she had legitimate fans in Max. Like they were like, oh my God, you're Flocka. I love your show. Da, 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 da. I thought that was kind of cool because I connected them a little bit.
That was one of my favorite lines, I think, of the whole season when they like dropped the bag of chocolate. Whatever mix, and she was like, that's like a whole month's worth of contour. Like, oh, that's still one of my favorites. Such a good line, the way she delivered it. And but the end scene with them, at the kickball field, I feel like that was her shining moment because that was her cheering up Cindy. Like, mm-hmm. I know you've been going through all of this, and this was her rallying up. Like, at some point, you're gonna have to forgive yourself. Yeah. Like, you have to live, you can't be depressed your whole life. And I feel like there were so many elements to what made that scene could have turned into a tragedy.
Yeah.
But I think that was one of them. Having them on the field commentating is one of the reasons I feel like the girls got cheered up and were into the game and decided this is more fun than killing each other. So I give Flocka points for that.
Let's not kill each other. That sounds great. Speaking of killing each other, one of the girls that we kind of see really be involved with this, and I just really want to like straight up go for them, is Daya and the new character, Daddy.
Daddy.
Daddy's character, at first I was not too crazy about. But then when you see her going through the struggles of, like, she kind of runs that whole, the pill world and getting the stuff in and whatever, she is almost, I think they made her character this way on the show because she is, in a lot of ways, like, what you imagine someone that's like maybe younger, a little whatever, to kind of be like. And she had an amazing backstory, or I thought it was super interesting with the, I mean, what, you, she's a pimp.
Yeah, basically.
There's no other word to call it, right?
Basically, yeah.
She's a
madame.
No, she's a daddy.
But she's a daddy, yeah.
And to see her kind of, you know, you can tell just from that backstory that she genuinely cares for people, because when the one girl died, now granted she was involved with her, but she genuinely cares for people. We see her go for Daya from the very beginning. So that's what I really wanted to get y'all's take on, because we've seen so many different aspects of Daya from the beginning of the show. She was always sweet. Like, she was one of my favorites because I'm like, she's the one that's not going to get jaded by any of this stuff happening. But clearly she's very jaded and super into it. She's taking the pill. She initially didn't start it, but you know, whatever. She's full into it now. And now she is in a relationship. I use air quotes when I say that.
Yeah.
She doesn't ever fully say it with Daddy. So how do y'all think of, what do you think about her transformation?
I feel like this is what I've realized about Daya. She falls into patterns all the time. And I do think we root for her in a sense because we believe that she knows better.
Right.
But she keeps making mistakes that just makes her situation worse and worse. And eventually she becomes so hopeless of her situation that she just goes with it. Even her relationship with Daddy, at some point when she meets her mom, when a lady comes and visits her, she's just like, well, I'm here forever, so, you know, I got to get some action down there. So that's like her rationale. It's like,
she says that to Gloria too later. She's something about like, just because she's in for life shouldn't mean her
Her sentence for life. Exactly. And so, I mean, we saw that with, and also I was really surprised, but then later I was like, it makes sense that Daya reciprocated the relationship with Daddy. Because at first I was like, oh, okay, this girl's trying really hard to come after her. I don't think it's going to work. But it worked, right? She, like, wore her down and eventually...
Literally.
I mean...
I think that's exactly what happened. Like, we're talking about, like, Daya kind of falling into patterns, always, you know, doing bad things when she's really good at heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, her mom's not the greatest example to follow, but also I think especially this season she really did get beat down, because one, she's getting beat by the guards left and right, like she can barely move without being in pain, and then two, she's added a she's a life sentence now, so there's no hope for her, so she's just kind of like, you think about it, can you imagine realizing that you're gonna be in jail for the rest of your life? When what is she going for? I can.
It's because she killed the guard.
Yeah. No. But what did she go into jail originally for?
Oh, I can't remember.
I feel like it's always been vague, but I think it was drug related.
I think so too. If y'all sometimes know in chat, vague. Let us know, because y'all remember stuff that we never. Remember,
I know my memory's like.
But I've gone back and looked and stuff as far as like what everybody goes in for, and sometimes it's not completely clear. Like even Daddy, they're not completely like
right. They left.
They didn't really tell us why, but we kind of just assume based on the lifestyle what ended up leading them there. Yeah. But like we saw with Daya with Bennett, like. I think at some point she kind of just finds comfort, even with Porn Stash a little.
Ugh.
You know, if
sorry,
someone's
just the gut reaction.
No, but like when she was kind of playing him, but then eventually, like she kind of does like to be taken care of at some point. I think when she's feeling especially down or depressed, and she has guards beating on her. She has more years, and she's got a daddy now.
Yeah,
and you know what? Let me just let him take care of, or her take care of me, and
especially because Daddy's supplying her with drugs, which keeps her mind off of the pain and her reality.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole time she's pretty much just like, high. Out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny that y'all say this, because Maddie Hunt in chat says, loved Daddy. Daya likes to be led by others. And she really does. It's just true. Like y'all were saying, every person that she's ever been attached to has kind of been in a leader position, or not kind of, literally
some kind of authority
has been
over her.
Yeah, whether it's Gloria with, you know, taking care of her with her mom, or Bennett, or Porn Stash, or now we have Daddy. But I went back and forth throughout the season, because full disclosure, I have always still been holding on to them bringing Bennett back.
Yeah.
And it kind of weirds me out a little bit that we don't even, like, I don't think they mentioned her baby once this season.
Well, I think they did actually. At some point, when Aleda goes and visits the kids, she was like, oh, at least Daya's kid got adopted by a rich person.
Right. But, like, Daya never says anything,
anything
about it. And that's why I'm like, I know that they're probably trying to, like, make us forget, but I'm like, that was the first four seasons of the show. I can't even remember exactly now. But I've always been holding on a little bit to him coming back or something. But now I think it's like they clearly just took that away from us since she has the life sentence.
Right.
But I went back and forth all season long kind of being like, okay, do I feel bad for her? Should she be doing this? Should she not? And I still, even just talking about it, I go back and forth because I'm like, ultimately, you did shoot somebody. Granted, situational, not saying that it was completely wrong. What obviously, he was torturing them. In a lot of ways, it was more right than anything. But, and then I'm like, oh, gosh, you're this way. Don't do these drugs. But then I'm literally like, but you're going to spend your whole entire life in prison. Like, what else is there better to do? You know, I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure there's no possibility of parole. Not to condone ever doing drugs, but I also, like, in her situation, for the purpose of it being a television show.
You can't blame her.
Yeah. And it's like, she did initially start it because she was in pain. She was the one that was, like, refusing to do it because she knew about, you know, the consequences potentially from taking this stuff. But she's literally sitting there. I mean, first, I don't know how she didn't go to the ER or, like, to... Well, I guess they didn't want to do it because then they would be like, wait, how did you get so beat up? Oh, the guards are beating you up. That's
I really thought, like, in the first few episodes that she was going to have some sort of internal injuries because she was getting beat up all the time. And she just had bruises. And they showed us the bruises constantly that she was enduring. as much as I feel bad for Daya, yeah, at the beginning they kind of established that they were going to have at least a certain number of girls go down no mm-hmm. matter what. And if I look at, like, you know, the inmates and, like, who was involved, I was like, if I had to pick someone who had to, like, go down, I felt like, okay, I would pick Daya.
Because she's the one who actually yeah. killed someone.
She was. She did shoot. And, you know, she made all of these decisions. And then even after, like, you know, in the riots, she was like, oh, let me still sort of half run this thing. And mm-hmm. so obviously I wouldn't. But if you had to pick someone who was, like, the most culpable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I think the situation with Daddy, too, introducing her character was kind of another important thing to show. It's like the new... She's not the new Red. Totally mm-hmm. different scenario. Right. But it is like you see her, you know, running this undercover mm-hmm. of sorts business with the pills. And then we see that ultimately she has a boss in the form of Barb, who yeah. is freaking out because she can't get her stuff. And it's like the dynamics of this. And, you know, a lot of the writing in this show is taking from real life mm-hmm. instances, whether it be stories or whether it be from them observing or whatever. So I have to wonder, like, how they are people actually getting all this stuff in prison? Like, this really happens?
Oh, so much stuff yes, goes on.
Has to. I thought it was clear to see the different styles of leadership that Daddy had with Battison, because mm-hmm. they were sort of like the first lieutenants, you know, underneath mm-hmm. the main boss. And, like, where Battison was just like a big bully.
Yeah.
Daddy really was like, she took a more, you know, you attract flies with honey
yeah.
approach, and that's how she kept all of her ladies in line and in check, and then also with drugs.
Yeah.
But, like, she was still an intimidating figure, but that was just her style, is, like, she kind of, you know, warms everyone up a little bit, and we saw it in her backstory as well. That's how she recruited girls, mm-hmm. yeah. and it worked. I mean, obviously, it works for her to an extent until she makes some bad calls and kind of lands them in hot water, but I felt like her style, it worked better for her than, like, Battison's style over at D-Block.
Yeah, like, her people actually liked her.
Or C-Block, I got
so annoying.
I know. She was one of... I mean, I liked her character, but then I'm like, no, you're just terrible. I want to ask y'all personal question. If you were in prison for life,
no.
would you go no. women? Well, I have no idea what either of you feel like personally anyway.
Well, I'm straight and I'm married to a man, but I feel like if you're in life, like...
Can't see your snatch like that the whole time, right?
I feel like I would probably consider it. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, as of right now, I would think not.
Who's to say?
What I mean, would who knows? What life you, in prison is a long time.
I don't know. You know, I say never say never, but I'm going to go with probably not. But also, like, I would probably get bored. So I don't know.
You gotta read some books, April.
Sell something out. Well, we see a lot of Daya's mom this season, who I loved getting to see her outside of the prison, Leda, of course. But she has formed this relationship with
Hopper.
CO Hopper. I just call him Creepy Hopper. Like, literally, I had written in my notes earlier.
I mean, he lives with his grandma.
Creepy CO. But, like, she's still fully crazy. And... I mean, she's, like, locking the grandma in rooms, and how did they originally meet? Oh, she was coming to visit Daya.
Right, and he saw her in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she kind of gets this whole smuggling pill setup going. And, well, first I just want to say, did y'all think it was going to happen to where he wasn't going to find out? Because she's living with CO Hopper. They're dating at this point. Even though she's still in contact with her ex, because he's the one that's giving her the pills.
Yeah.
But she's doing all of this to get her kids back. So you got to wonder, like, isn't that the dumbest thing you could ever do?
Exactly.
I actually, Aleda was one of my favorite characters this season, because she's like a pit bull. Like, literally angry and just going all the time.
She even, like, looks like a pit bull. Yeah.
She's like, but she's also, like fabulous. I don't know. Yeah. Because, like, with Hopper, there were so many times where I'm like, you know, oh, yeah, they're going to break up, or he's going to find out. I did. I thought eventually he'll find out, or he'll do this and that. But it's almost like every time she yelled at him, it, like, turned him on more.
It definitely turned him on. You can, like, clearly see.
He's and like, yes. He was just all about it. And, you know, she would be in the wrong because, you know, she was caught with the pills and she's finding a reason to yell at him for it.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to change my life and you're giving me all this fire. So I was all about it. And yeah, I mean, it's we've seen her struggle. She's trying to find a job. She's trying to sell things, and mm-hmm. she's still not having money come her way. And she wants her kids. So, I mean, obviously, like, this isn't the best choice, but I feel like I get her hustle of, like, what she's trying to do to get her kids back, to get her life on track.
Her manipulation was just on it this season in the sense of Hopper. Like, at the end where he's like, oh my gosh, I'm a CEO, I could lose my job, whatever. But she knows how to manipulate him in the right way. She's like, oh, you want this? This is the kind of man you are? Like, you're okay with living this, like, cheap life, whatever? Then fine. And she did that on purpose because she knew, like, what the one thing was going to be that was going to actually get him to see things her way. But it's kind of crazy the amount of things that she's been able to talk these men into, or her kids into even. They pointed out in the chat that Daya and she were both put in jail for drug trafficking, okay, which she got Daya into. And it's like, somehow she just has this way of, like, how do you take a guard working at a prison and get him to sneak in pills for you? That's crazy. But she started off, you know.
Skills.
She does. But she started off trying to do it the right way initially, and she's going to these classes and getting her, you know,
trying to sell
the weight loss
or whatever, or something, like some pyramid scheme smoothie thing. I feel bad for her the most out of all the characters in the show, because I mean, we see Daya, she's kind of a product of her, but, like, we don't really know. I don't really remember. Did they do Elaida's backstory back in the days? I can't remember.
Not that I can remember.
Yeah, but, like, she just seems like she's always down on her luck, but it's almost her choice. Like, she easily could keep going the straight route, rather, but, like, you know, it's just easier to do things that aren't right
because it's quick money.
It's quick money. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like she doesn't care about her kids.
Yeah. Because what if you get caught? I mean, I understand that it's the quick money, it's the whatever, but I'm like, then be a stripper. If you're going to do whatever you can for quick money, like, do that. It seems a little crazy to me to do something that could so easily get you back into jail. I understand it, right. But it's still just crazy.
I think it's interesting that, like, you know, even saying, like, be a stripper, then obviously we're acknowledging that she doesn't have options, right? Like, she literally was applying at a grocery store and they're still turning her away. And so I feel like this is someone who really did exhaust all of her other options and is going back to what's familiar and what works. Right. And I would almost say she's very smart in the fact that she kind of has zero risk in this situation, because it really is Hopper. Like, he's the one, like, you know,
smuggling
them in. And if they get caught, I'm not saying that it wouldn't necessarily fall on her a little. It might, but she might as well duck out and kind of just leave him hanging. So she's kind of found herself in a scenario where she has the least amount of risk. Yeah. And, I mean, I'm still assuming that she's still trying to sell stuff, the herbal life stuff, eventually, and maybe finding other jobs. But I thought the argument they had after she finds out that Daya is, you know, on drugs, she has a conversation with her and she falls asleep and it's clear that she's high, and she gets mad at Hopper and he's like, well, I thought you knew this. And you kind of sort of see in her expression, like, she's trying to rationale, like, what do I do? Do I stop doing this to try to save Daya? Do I keep going? And in that moment, she decides, well, I have to try for my other kids. Right. There's still time to save them. Mm-hmm. And it sounds very, like, cold, but I get it. Like, you have a daughter who's already facing life in prison. She's already hooked. If you think, oh, getting these drugs and getting this money is the only way I'll be able to save these other kids, I felt like it's like a weird, you know, almost like a Sophie's Choice thing where, like, you're pitting your kids against each other, but you're kind of like, looking at the best scenario outcome for everybody right now. And one person's is already
kill
gone.
The one to save the many. Essentially, it's literally that option.
Exactly.
But it's like what you were saying earlier. Sometimes you wonder, does she really care about her kids? I definitely think that she does. But it's just, you know, even when we see her interactions with them, and I know that they do it this way because it's just her personality. Right. You know, she's very hard. She's very tough. She's very, like, quick and witty. But it just seems like there are other things that she's doing that are just clearly going to bring her down from that. Right. Or she just always seems, you know, this is another aspect to her character, to maybe care a little bit more about a man, per se. Not that she cares about Hopper in this, I'm thinking back to other seasons. Than her actual kids.
Yeah, I feel like she's a little selfish. And I actually, the whole the whole time, I thought she was going to wind up back in jail. Mm-hmm. Because I almost feel like, you know, especially because we saw her struggling in the beginning trying to find a job, and then she's resorting back to what she knows, that she almost, it would be more comfortable just to go back to jail.
Yeah.
So I was actually surprised she stayed out this season.
Well, I didn't even think about it until you said it just now, like, she kind of has no skin in this game. The only skin she had was when she found out that Daya was using. Mm-hmm. And it was, I liked that conversation between the two of them, because I was like, wait, does she not know what's going on? Because it was so clearly obvious. And then even, you know, it's not a very, it's never going to be an easy decision or like a popular choice. I kind of do agree with what she said with, well, I don't know. But even as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, no, I don't. Because there's one way to, you know, you're not just saving your kids or you're not just saving money for them. You're also pretty much like giving your daughter your own blood, something that you can clearly see. She's not just like doing the bare minimum. Like, right. She's doing too much. So it's like, okay, she's in prison, but also like she could potentially overdose and die from the stuff that you're giving her because she obviously doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you could get them back because you're saving this money or making money, whatever. But then it's like you're also going to possibly kill your other kid. She's not going to kill her. It is Daya making the decision to take it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Literally, as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh, crap. Wait, I don't know.
It's murky. It's like, it's, yeah. I don't know. There doesn't seem to be any good options ahead of her. So, and I don't know. I feel like the situation she in, she really doesn't have much risk. I know I already said this, but like even the fact that so much stuff happens mm-hmm. in the jails. Like we've seen the guards, like they're doing fantasy inmate. You have Loose Chick bringing in cell phones. You have, you know, the other guard's name. I forget what he is, but the bald one. Like he's bringing in contraband Helen, right? as well.
Yeah.
So Helen. It's like so much stuff happens that like it doesn't seem like anybody gets caught. I don't think any of the higher ups are unaware of the fact that things go on. And obviously it's just like, it's not even an issue to MCC or now Polly, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So
until they get caught and then it's a big deal, but it doesn't seem like anybody's
for the most part, people just look the other way. That's what it seems like.
Yeah. Avoid the riot. It's probably what they want to do now. Speaking of Luzchek, we have him leading this exercise class that's also led by Gloria. And I liked, you know, we kind of started the season off still with the feud with Gloria and Maria because she was releasing the hostages, then she was releasing the hostages, then she did, but oh my gosh, I'm not able to see my son, blah, 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 blah. It's almost odd to me that it was, I want to say, you know, resolved, but it's not resolved, I guess, but it was resolved relatively quickly. You know, they get into this little fight in their walking time or whatever. And then it's kind of just like, okay, whatever. You know, the whole season is about everyone trying to not get this extra time mm-hmm. because of the riot and everything. And it's like they start off bitter enemies and then it's just kind of not referenced so much anymore.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you start in the beginning with Gloria and Blanca and Maria, and they're trying to figure out who, and I guess Di is in there at some point, but we kind of know that
she's written off already.
You know, trying to figure out, oh, can we get, you know, Blanca to turn against this person or turn against that person? And there are all these like little politics that are trying to go on while they're in AdSec. Eventually, Maria is the one who kind of gets like targeted and, you know, goes aside. And so you have this like rivalry with Gloria and Maria kind of this whole season. They have beef since, you know, going way back and, you know, trying to take away the chance to get out by, you know, releasing the guards. And with Gloria, I felt like this season, we didn't see that much growth from her. I agree. Yeah. I felt like we spent time with her, but as far as her personality, there wasn't anything major. I felt like it was mostly her just dealing with the repercussions of what happened. The pairing with Luzchek, I thought, was really random.
So it was random.
The first episode where I was like, are they trying to make them a thing?
Well, what's going on? Are they flirting?
Well, yeah, because they had so many scenes where Gloria kind of had, like, smirked after, like, you know.
Yeah.
Even, like, when they danced that one time and he
got a boner.
Got a, yes. Yeah. Like, she still, after that, was kind of like,
Oh. Yeah. Well, at that point, she knew, like, what she could do. Right. Yeah. Because she could tell that he maybe had, like, a sort of thing for her. And she did seem legitimately upset whenever, how do you say Jesus with an accent? What's Jesus? That's her name. Is it? Okay, Jesus. Well, that's the girl's name that was, like, jealous. The girl.
It was her last name, Zirconia.
Zirconia.
Oh, like, when I looked it up online, it's, I literally look at the board. I have girl with the bad teeth. When I looked up her name online, it said Jesus with an accent above the U. But anyway, and she, we've seen from past seasons before with her, like, having a little thing for Luscheck. But I'm like, that's all we've got to see of Maria.
He's the poor man's Chris Pratt, apparently.
Yeah. Also, he definitely lost some weight this season. I thought he was, like, cuter.
He showed his belly a couple times.
While he was dancing.
But better than in the past, I'd say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even though he's a, you know, big fat coward and just runs away from it all.
Yeah, he really does.
That's literally all there is to say about his character. He's a big fat coward. He can never handle anything.
But Gloria calls him out on it. Yeah. And she does. She's like, you're not going to do anything. But yeah, so since I don't feel like her character actually grew much this season, I do feel like the whole pairing with her and Luscheck was kind of a way to highlight, like, oh, she's still a woman. Yeah. She's still, you know, sexual and attractive. And so I kind of like that because I feel like oftentimes you don't really see older women being portrayed as still, like, you know, potential romantic beings, especially because he's younger. And I think they point that out. But that doesn't mean that, like, there can't be an attraction there. So I liked that. I appreciated that, even though it was a weird pairing.
I like that they referenced the whole menopause thing because I always wonder, like, so how do they handle these things, like, when you're in jail? Or I always wonder, like, how they handle the real life, like, you know, nasty stuff that happens to everybody. But, you know, she had to get her exercise on. And in the end, when she did discover the fantasy inmate thing, it's like everything, all the repercussions from whatever went out the window because she wanted, she's like, this stuff is still happening. You know, granted, they're not maybe being tortured as bad as they were before. Not, it's still happening. You know, we see it, like we said, with Daya. But all of this stuff, this, you know, making them essentially not people, they're just beings living in a place, according to the COs, is still happening. So I'm glad that she kind of, like, went out of her way to try and do something about it, but she just gets put so right back in ad sex. So it's like,
yeah, that moment was disappointing when I thought, oh my gosh, everyone heard this is great.
Yeah.
And then it was for nothing. I was like, oh guys, really?
Which I guess that would have been a little easy, and they couldn't give us everything. Like, they gave us not everyone being murdered at the end. So we had to accept that as a gift. Right?
Yes. That's true. But I do feel like that was just even though, and it just shows you how, like, sensitive or desensitized and used to bad conditions even we get as viewers. Because in the beginning of the season, I was like, oh my gosh, this place is horrible. Like, they don't even have outside time. They're in these little cells and they get abused. And by the end, you kind of just accept it. And you're like, oh yeah, this is their norm. And and that's awful in itself. And I felt like the fantasy draft is just like, you know, a tangible confirmation of these guards really don't care. Mm-hmm. Not only that, they're going to let all this bad stuff happen to us. It profits them. They see us as nothing more than game pieces.
Yeah, right.
And so,
at first I thought it was kind of like almost, people are probably going to kill me for saying this, but I thought it was actually like a funny little thing. Mm-hmm. Not funny in the sense of like objectifying them or making them less than actual human beings by making a game. But I was like, okay, they have to entertain themselves as well. Like, maybe I thought it was just like, oh, this person did something bad on their own. But it's the fact that they do these things to promote them doing other things or to make them angry or to say, hey, I heard this person did this in order to, like, win some pot of money, whatever it is. Maybe it's a lot. Who cares if it's a lot? But they're doing these things knowing that they have huge repercussions for each of them because they're already in prison. And hey, guess what? This isn't just going to be like a little, you're in school, you get time out. Like, no, you're going to get more time added to your sentence. And they don't care whatsoever. Because they just don't care. No, and it's crazy that it's not. I almost like that they showed us the new CO, the woman. Mm-hmm. She was the one that was the most into it. Because it's not just, you know, in the past it's been mainly the men that were kind of into the, or it literally has just been the men that were into the you know, torture, for lack of a better term. But even it's like, no, just because you're a female, you're a male, it doesn't really matter. You just have a certain mentality about life, and yeah. I kind of like that they showed us that.
Well, the fact that it's a game, it's called, you know, Fantasy Inmate, you know, some people might like hear it and be like, oh yeah, I can be light or whatever, and sure. they're doing, and I get why initially even maybe the CEOs was like, oh, I'll play that. But I like that the show very clearly was like, no, this is bad, yeah. and this isn't just like some little game they're playing. These are actual people, and the fact that like you're treating it as a game, you're dismissing them as having any actual human value. And there was this other CEO who like tells that to one of, I think it was Lustig or somebody's like, this is basically slavery. Like you're mm-hmm. weighing people's commodity. So I felt like it was still good that they like emphasize like this is bad. They're not just like, oh, harmless. It's not harmless. And
yeah.
like you said, there were many occasions where they actually went out of their way to create bad situations where people mm-hmm. were going to get hurt or have more years added, time, so forth. So,
yeah,
that was super crazy scenario. Hey, but I want to talk about something really yeah. quick. All you After Buzzers out there, we're talking about Orange is the New Black, but our network actually produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite series, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We are asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels, and by subscribing, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help After Buzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about any of those pesky notifications, that's actually optional, so you don't have to be worried about that. So hit the subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. And if you can, let us know that you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. So fun shout out. So thank you so much for being the best fans and helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We only have a little bit of time left, so I want to briefly touch on Maria really quick. She's another character. We yeah. talked about her a little bit. She kind of had a major turnaround from being this like big BA running the shiz. She essentially was one of the main ringleaders of the riot. Which is why, for myself anyway, in this situation, I didn't necessarily feel bad that she got a little time added because she did, like, yeah. the messed up stuff mm-hmm. to people. Yeah. And not too terrible of stuff happened to her beforehand. She was just pissed because she got screwed in the business side of things in prison, but that had nothing to do with the COs. But she, like, literally did terrible stuff to them. But then we see her have a turnaround, and she is all about Jesus until she finds out that she was almost drowned by the baby killer.
Beth? I think yeah. that she's a very real character. She's frustrating, and I don't really like her most of the time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really feel bad for her because she really did, like, was the one ringleading all of the let's torture, let's mm-hmm. do all this crazy stuff. And I like that she got confronted by the female CEO. I forget her name.
Yeah, but McCullough.
She was like, I don't forget what you did. Right. And like she told her that in her face. And I felt like that was kind of like an awakening, like, okay, yeah, I was a bad person. I'm mm-hmm. trying to be better now. But then as soon as, you know, she gets confronted by someone else who did her wrong, mm-hmm. she quickly turns around her like new creed and is like, no, never mind. I'm going to go back as angry. So she's a frustrating character. But I feel like, you know, throughout her back and forth of trying to find like some kind of peace and some sort of forgiveness within herself so she can move on and let go of some of her anger. I feel like we did get some of that towards at the end.
Yeah.
So there was some like back and forth with her, two steps forward, one step back. Mm-hmm. But I think this season she did grow into maybe a better person yeah. overall.
Our other character trying to grow was Blanca. Oh my and gosh, she's Blanca. Trying to grow with a baby and got some semen imported, I guess you could say.
Smuggled into the semen.
Yes, into the prison. Didn't end up working, unfortunately. But the end of the season, we see her get an early release along with Piper, and she got an early release because she got a plea deal with giving up information mm-hmm. on Maria. But she gets released and is greeted by
ICE,
and essentially is being transferred to a center where they are holding illegal immigrants.
It was the second disappointing moment of the finale, obviously Tasty. Yeah. That was, like, brutal. But then I almost feel like Blanca's like seeing how her situation unfolded was to me harder to watch because I didn't expect it.
I
like,
that was completely
with Tasty's situation. I would, by the way, when we talk about that, that scene was brutal, but. Yeah. I was so happy for Blanca. I was like, oh my gosh, her and Diablo are going to have a baby. Everything's going to be great. It's not just Piper getting released early. Because I was annoyed that Piper was getting released early. I was like, of course. But I was like, okay, what? Someone else who I can kind of root for. And then they just take that away from you.
I know.
It's awful.
And the one thing that I love about Orange is the New Black is that they always tie into kind of what's going on in our political sphere in real life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think this was a big one, especially for, I mean, I'm sure they wrote it before everything happened with the border and family separating, but it was just kind of like, ugh, it hit at the same time as everything, these detention centers. And we see that the MCC or Poly, whatever they're called now they're focusing on that instead of, you know, prisons. And it's just like, you just, that was the most disappointing, one of the most disappointing besides Tasty for me too, because she's being just like let down completely by the system.
And she, it was so sad because her character since the beginning, you know, I think about her in season one and she's the like crazy one in the bathroom stall talking on the phone. She's always been like a strong character. So just to see her break down in the end when her husband's waiting right there. And then it's just such a disappointment.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, she's not even given the chance to get out there and become a citizen. Like, okay, she's living in the United States. Mm-hmm. So she becomes, she's an adult. Like, let's do something about it. But, like, you're not even going to give her the chance to do anything. It's just, it was very unfair.
Blanca, to me, is one of those characters that makes Orange is the New Black great. Like, one of the, you would, if you saw her first scene, or even her first couple of scenes, you would just dismiss as just, like, a whatever character, as a jail stereotype. And, like, just over the seasons, just to see them, like, show that she's a fully realized person.
Yeah.
And she has a life and, you know, people who care about her and dreams. And, especially in this season, you got to see her realize, oh, I want to be a mother. I want to have something. And, you know, even her trying to reconcile, like, how am I going to, you know, be able to do these things I want to do in my life while I'm stuck behind bars and I only have a limited bit of time.
Yeah.
I felt like that was a really good story for them to be able to show. I loved that they were trying to do the whole implantation thing. I thought that was, they made it funny, but I just thought that, you know, seeing her and she's like in a healthy relationship. They've like, they say dirty stuff to each other, which were
well,
one
like
of
it's
the,
healthy.
But like, you can feel like they actually love and care about each other and support
each other.
It's
like the most stable relationship in the show.
Exactly.
Touche.
She was really like one of my favorite parts of this whole season.
Yeah. Same. Okay, before we wrap up really quick, I want to very quickly do our special segment, Tinder to the Max.
Tinder to the Max.
And so we are going to do whether the characters we discussed tonight, are you going to swipe right or are you going to swipe left? If I say swipe right is good, swipe left is bad, right?
Swipe right as you want to connect, swipe,
Okay, because I've never done
right.
that. Okay, each of you tell me your answer. Gloria.
Gloria, swipe right. Because I was feeling her salsa.
Okay, you're right. I love to dance.
Swipe right.
Swipe right.
What about Maria?
Left.
Swipe left. Because she was...
She cried too much.
I'm happy that she got to a good spot, but she was tiring.
Yeah. What about Elena?
I'm going to say left. She's a little too much for me.
Swipe right. I love it.
I'm going to swipe right as well on her. What about Flaca?
Right.
Right. Absolutely.
Blanca.
Right all the way. So many times right.
What about Lucia?
Left?
Well, you know what? If I'm in a jail with all women, I'm going to swipe right.
I'm going to swipe right, too. I was going to say the same thing. If that's my offense, I'm taking it. Totally. Daddy. It's going to be a left for me.
I don't know. That's because she is very caring, and you do need someone's support.
And slightly masculine.
I might swipe right.
Okay. I'm going to swipe right. I'm not, like, basing... I'm just, like, on if I like you as a person.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to swipe right.
Okay, and then Daya.
Oh, left.
Left.
I would have swiped right other seasons, but this season I might swipe left.
I think she's too far gone.
Yeah. I totally would have swiped right. Now I'm like, girl, you are just numb all over, so no.
Yep.
swipe left. Okay, awesome. Well, thank y'all so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Love having y'all in chat. Be sure to communicate with us all throughout the week on Twitter, through YouTube, like and subscribe, give us 5 stars, all that kind of stuff.
And let us know, like, what you guys want us to talk about. And if you want us to, like, spend more time on something, we're done.
Exactly. Next week, we're going to be talking some of our new characters, and I'm so excited to talk about them because they kind of really made this season. Until then, y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant. Where can they find y'all?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at XOXOCESCA.
And I'm Leslie Caron. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Leslie.face.
Awesome. See y'all next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Did we forget
it?
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.